So I'm James Hammonds, technical specialist at Microsoft. I cover Office 365 based out of Austin. And that's about all I'm gonna do for an intro here. Let Brent.
Yeah, we're cutting right to the chase. So my name is Brent Witchell. I'm based 4 hours up the road in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're here today to talk to you about an exciting topic of how do you manage Office across all of your devices?
That's it. And so a couple things, we're gonna just set the stage at looking at what's the landscape for Office on mobile devices and the Windows devices and things like that. And talk about what anytime, anywhere on any device means. And then as we look at that, that has some implications that we need to be aware of. And so we'll talk a little bit about how we manage and secure both devices and data on those.
Yeah, so the reason we're all really here is, you know, James and I spend all of our time as a Microsoft employee in front of customers. Specifically around Office 365. And so every person we get in front of from an IT perspective and from a line of business perspective, they consistently say, look, we've got tons of pressure to offer rich experiences, not just on desktops or in a browser, but on these mobile devices. So they have great experiences in their consumer lives. Most people now understand the cloud and how it enables them to get access to their consumer information, whether it's on their phone, anywhere, anytime, any place. And so this is my attempt at a little bit of humor of saying, hey, you know, this person may not be sitting at the front door of the building when you walk in, but there's some pressure that we as IT have to enable those experiences. So the first thing that I want to discuss with you is let's talk about how do you get those experiences on mobile devices. And so it all starts with something we call Office 365 Pro Plus, right? So most people think of Office 365 Pro Plus, and it is, as the rich native experience you have on a PC. You've heard terms like click to run, right? But there's much more you get as a value perspective when you have a user license for Office 365 Pro Plus. So Office 365 Pro Plus is literally the conduit into your users being productive for commercial use on any device. So if you didn't know, also it's per user license, right? So 5 smartphones, 5 tablets, and 5 computers, and those computers can be Macs or PCs, right? So you get up to 15 devices where you can literally have these natively delivered experiences from Microsoft. You'll see lots of robots and apples and Windows or Microsoft logos. And so literally we deliver a native Office experience now across all platforms and devices.
Fantastic. So, as Brent alluded to, we have a consistent and familiar Office experience across all of our devices, right? So we have the ability to work with full fidelity documents sitting in the service without doing any conversions on those and not lose any kind of formatting or anything like that. And on the desktop, obviously it's the richest experience, but you have the core capabilities on both those tablets and mobile devices. So it's a nice transition for folks. We talked a little bit about anywhere, anytime access. Again, that's kind of the beauty of this. I have many instances where I am traveling with a colleague to a customer site and I'm tethered to a mobile device and I'm able to make edits to my documents on the road effectively, right? Built for teamwork, so with our co-authoring capabilities and things like this, we have the ability to, as Brent and I did with this deck, make edits real time even though we're half a country away. But with all of that, again, we want to make sure that this has a foundation of secure access and enterprise data protection. And that's a lot of what we're going to do. And we're also going to talk a little bit about deployment guidance for this, as well as some of the help that you guys can get through Fast Track.
Thanks, James. So this is representative of my iPhone. So, yep, I'm a Microsoft guy, I carry an iPhone. And the reason that I don't feel bad at all in doing so is every one of these apps is a natively delivered app from Microsoft on that platform and device, right? So pretty impressive. So we've got the core apps that we all think about when we think of Office, like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, OneNote, but there's a plethora of other things. In fact, there's so many I couldn't fit them all on this image. But doing things like managing Office 365, right? We have a great app experience as an IT pro where I can go and check in on the health of my tenant. If you haven't caught some of the OneDrive for Business shows from Ruben Krippner, go watch those. There are some amazing things that we now unleash on a mobile device from a OneDrive perspective, like the ability to just create a Word document right there from OneDrive on my phone. So those are the types of things that we know people are clamoring for, right, in the business world. And so we've got this part handled. Now we have those great experiences. And for the rest of this time, we're going to really showcase how do you take a really, through a big lens, how do I protect all the data that Office on these devices are connecting to in Office 365. And the other thing I want to mention is we're doing this through the lens of Office 365 without you having to go and purchase Intune. Okay, there's one scenario that we're going to get to, and I'll be very clear when I get to that scenario, that requires an Intune license. Other than that, everything you do here is part of the core Office 365 experience. But it's limited also to Office 365. So if you think of other SaaS apps, that's not what we're covering here. We're talking about I'm connecting these apps to my data. How do we protect that device and the data, et cetera?
So we'll talk through first the enablement of Office and then all of these capabilities, including some things around how do you protect OneDrive for Business. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. You guys can obviously read. So we'll move on. The first piece of this, obviously, is enabling the license for Office. And so we'll step through this very briefly here.
Yeah, so that image, something obviously happened there. But essentially, the takeaway here is the very first step in Office 365, everything hinges on the identity of the user, right? So what you have to do in order to enable the capabilities on that device is you have to go and assign the Office 365 Pro Plus license in the portal to that user. Once you do that, those apps are then able to connect to your tenant, and that user is able to connect to their data that's in Office 365. So step one is just going in and enabling the user so that they can have these experiences. The PowerShell script there, we wanted to also make sure that when we're done with this session, you can go download these slides and you have a frame of reference of how would I do that with PowerShell versus just through the admin console. So we're trying to make it to where you can get some value after this session by downloading the different slides.
That's it. So we have PowerShell there.
Oh, we've got a PowerPoint issue happening.
An issue and opportunity. All right, so let's talk a little bit about one of the key things here that we have to deal with is anywhere, anytime, any device has some implications, again, that we want to be a little concerned about, right? And so a lot of customers ask, well, how do I ensure that I don't have compromised credentials, that I have the ability to ensure that the person accessing the service is actually who they say they are? And one of the ways that we accomplish this is through multi-factor authentication. So you have the ability to configure this through Office 365. One of the things that is important with this is you do have some prerequisites around that, right? So the tenant in these different workloads needs to be enabled for modern authentication. This URL that you guys can download from the slides later is available for that. It kind of walks through like what services are enabled by default and then what commands you need to run within the service to ensure that that it's enabled there. The other thing is you need to have your client support modern authentication, right? So there's some registry changes that you need to do to ensure that you have Office 2003 clients, those you configure to use modern authentication.
Turn that off and then turn this on, but you gotta do that before this. Or we're all gonna wake up really early here.
Get there. Fantastic. Okay. So in terms of enabling that, we do that through the portal when we go to manage our users, right? So you're going to go in there, look at your active users, and then we're going to select a given user. Ali tends to be the one that we pick on in our scenarios here. And when we get to Ali, we're going to look at the details for her individually. And you'll see there at the bottom, more settings, there's manage multi-factor authentication. And when we click on this, this is actually going to bring us into a different area entirely where we can select one or more users to enable multi-factor authentication. So you'll see we'll select manage user settings for this individual, and that's going to bring up a page where we can say, we want to require this to provide contact methods again. So we have contact methods for mobile phone, you can call or text. We can delete all existing app passwords generated by selected users. So if all of the clients that they're using are multi-factor aware, then we know we can get rid of app passwords, which tends to be a sticking point for some folks. And then we can also restore the multi-factor authentication options on all devices that are configured already. And once we do that, we'll get a confirmation dialog saying that this is now enabled on selected accounts. So that's one way to do it. Maybe a little tedious. There's another way that we could do this in mass. through a CSV file. So you guys can download a template and then push that back into the service as a CSV file. We'll read that and enable en masse. One other way to do it, and my personal favorite, is via PowerShell. So there's quite a big PowerShell theme at this conference, but this is generally how I roll. This is showing a single instance, but obviously you could take this script and the way this is all set up and build it into something that's a bit more comprehensive to process bulk users. This could be included in your provisioning process whenever you're creating user accounts and do all that. Once you enable multi-factor authentication for a user, you can have them kind of proactively go to this URL and they'll be stepped through the process of setting it up, or they'll, the first time they try and authenticate to the service, they'll be prompted to set this up. So once they go in and say, I want to set this up, we'll go through a security verification where we can say, how do you want us to contact you? They'll click setup, and then it'll go through. And very briefly, I'm going to delete my little slide there. So this is going to show you the mobile experience for these. When Allie goes in, she's going to provide her username and password, and then click sign in, and then the next screen is going to say, okay, fantastic. We got your password. We're going to go ahead and give you a call back and get that second factor, right? So whether that's, again, a phone call, authenticator app, or a text message for a PIN, that's how we can ensure that Allie is truly Allie.
Okay, so MFA is all about making sure the person signed in using the correct credentials and that they have something that on them to confirm that it's who they are, right? Next, is this thing working? Next, we are going to talk about the next level, which is, okay, how can I, once they have the thing that we know ensures that it's them, how do we then put some conditions in place so that that device does not just willy-nilly connect to our data and start doing things? And so this is all about device policies that are, again, built into Office 365. So essentially, maybe it's not working. Oh, there it goes. Thank you, James. All right, so again, I can't stress enough, this is built into Office 365, what we're talking about here. It does, though, and this is where I've found customers get a little confused. So Office 365 at the core leverages a lot of services in Azure. Like, you know, an example would be Azure AD, right? We, of course, sell Azure AD Premium, right? But Office 365 leverages Azure AD. It's not something you have to go out and do extra, right? It just leverages that. The same thing is Azure Media Services. When you use Office 365 Video, we're using part of Azure, like Azure Media Services. Azure RMS is another example. So if you can think of it in those terms, think of now, we're leveraging Intune to give you these basic conditional formatting capabilities, or not conditional formatting, conditional access capabilities within Office 365. And so the first step is we go to the new security and compliance portal, and then we would go to the device management portion of the security and compliance portal. How many of you are familiar with the new security and compliance portal in Office 365? Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm showing this, and not a lot of you raised your hand. So it rocks. It's where you go to manage all aspects of Office 365. So once you're in device management, you click on that. It's actually going to, this is going to be the first startup experience. So it's going to say, hey, we're about to help you manage all of your devices. You click on get started. It then has you go to where you name a policy, right? So it's going to create a policy. And the next step after this is going to be where we can go and customize that policy. But essentially you're saying, hey, I'm going to create this Contoso MDM group, right? So I'm going to click on startup. It's going to go through. And it is going to start provisioning that policy. So it's going to say, hey, the group of people that you selected, we're now creating this policy that we're going to apply to them. And once that's done, then you get to go into that policy and start configuring it to your liking. So the first thing you can do is, and this is a subset, again, of the overall Intune capabilities you get with the full Intune, right? But these are the things you get as just an Office 365 user. So you can do things like, hey, I want to require a 6-digit alphanumeric password, right? Do I want that device to be rooted? If it's rooted, do I want it to connect to my data, right? Do I want to enroll it so I can then do some remote wipe capabilities that James is going to talk about in a few minutes? So take a look at this. Again, these are all in the slide. that you can download. But there's a number of things that give you a high level of comfort in, hey, I can enforce some things before any device connects to my data. Then you can go down, and there's another section called configurations. This is where you have even added capabilities that you can enforce. So you can say, do I want to require an encrypted backup of this data? Do I want to block cloud backup on this device? And so again, a lot of things that we continue to evolve and give you as conditions when people are connecting their devices to Office 365. And then simply all you do is you go into the deployment section of the console and you say, I want to light this up by selecting yes, and then it deploys that out to your organization.
Thanks, sir. All right, so now that we've deployed this out to the organization, there are instances where, for one reason or another, someone might be leaving our organization. And as we have content that's corporate on these devices, we may want to pull that out, right? Make sure that that gets wiped from the device. Now, there comes a challenge with that. Historically, you know, we had through Exchange Active Sync the ability to fully wipe the device, but that doesn't always fly, right? If we delete my kids' pictures, I'm going to be a little upset about that, right? And so we have the ability within the service to do what we call selective wipe, which means that we're only going to pull out the data that is corporate-owned, right, kind of associated with the corporation that that we have. And so you'll see here we've gone into the mobile device management section for Office 365, and this is accessed through the same steps that we saw in the previous slides here. But we'll go in and see the lists of devices that we've owned. You'll see my organization is relatively small. I've only got one device, but it's an Extreme device. And on the right-hand side there for Sarah Davis's Extreme iPad, you'll see selective wipe or full wipe. If I go in and select selective wipe, I'll see a little screen prompt that says, hey, performing the selective wipe is going to delete only organizational data. Are you good with that? Of course we are. Yes. And then what the end user is going to see on the phone is an app wipe alert, basically stating the same thing, right? And the option there is to click OK. And so at that point, the corporate data will be expunged from the device.
Thank you. Okay. So up to this point, everything that we've shown you is stuff you do in the admin console of Office 365 with a subscription to Office 365 alone. But one of the things that always comes up, inevitably, is our IT brethren look at us and say, hey, we've got a maintenance contract on a third-party MDM solution already, right? So we've got AirWatch, we've got Mobile Iron, there's a number of them out there. So Microsoft, I can only enroll my device with one MDM at a time. So what can I do to help in the scenario where those apps are connecting to my Office 365 data? So if you're in that scenario, we've got good news. No worries. Be happy. This is where, if you're a full Intune license user, you can go in and apply what we call mobile application management, right? So essentially, we have mobile application management built into Office 365 leveraging Intune, right? So again, this would be where you would want to have a license for Intune, but we offer MAM without enrollment. So you can still be enrolled in your third-party MDM solution, but having Microsoft manage the app experiences across all of your devices, which is a fairly cool concept. This is fairly new. How many of you knew about this? Okay, a handful, that's great. So what does that look like? So because I mentioned we now have a full license for Intune, I'm gonna go into the Azure portal, I'm gonna go click on Intune, and essentially I'm going to start by creating an app policy. You'll see actually that I have two app policies here, one that is targeting Android and one that is targeting iOS, right? So we're going to focus on the iOS one. So this is the Protect My Apps policy that I would go through, click on that. I get to name it whatever I want. In this scenario, I've named it Protect My Apps. Again, I'm in the iOS portion of this policy. And once I name it and I give it a description, I then go down and say, hey, what users do I want to target for this MAM policy? And so you'll see in this scenario that I've gone, and this is pulling from Office 365. It says, hey, you've got some groups there. It surfaces all the groups, and I pick MAM peeps and then core team, right? So anybody that falls in those two groups are going to have this these policies assigned to them. Then I get to go down and select which apps do I actually want to manage on those devices. And so this is where it gets really cool, because you'll see the plethora of apps here that I've selected all of them, and I've said, hey, anytime someone goes and installs this from the respective app store. I want to manage that from a corporate perspective. And then the real meat of all this is the policy settings. So here's where I can go in and say, I want to prevent iTunes and iCloud backups, right? I want to go in and I want to allow transfer of data just from one corporate app to the other managed apps. I cannot go in, once I enable this policy into PowerPoint, if I open up a Word from OneDrive, copy data, and then go into Twitter and paste it into Twitter, right? So that's the experience that we're dealing with here when we say allow transfer of data between those different apps. But I could take that data and paste it into a Word document, right? Prevent save as, restrict copy, cut, and paste with other apps, restrict web content to display in the managed browser. So there's a lot of other things, right? I'm going to scroll down here, and you'll see the coolest thing that I wasn't aware of until recently is I can enforce a PIN number on specific applications if I want, right? So I can create a policy and say every time someone opens Outlook or opens Word or Excel or PowerPoint, I want them to have to enforce a 4-digit, 5-digit PIN number, which is really neat. And then the piece that I love to show also is at the very bottom of this slide. I don't think I have a laser here. But at the very bottom, we have the ability to proactively say, look, if this device exceeds 90 days here, remote wipe all the corporate data that's on that device. So you can throttle that all the way down to one day if you'd like, right? So you could create a policy literally that says every day, make sure the user has no data on their device. So after 24 hours, we're remote wiping all their data.
Corporate data.
Recheck access.
Corporate data.
Corporate data, yes. Corporate data, yes, thank you. Recheck access requirements after X number of minutes, right? So you have a lot of power right here in these policies that you're creating and managing from an app perspective. So the user experience, very similar to what James showed you with multi-factor auth. So the user goes on their phone for the first time and they say, hey, I want to connect to Office 365. Well, multi-factor auth is going to kick in on my phone here and it's going to say, hey, we need to make sure that you are who you say you are. The authenticator app in this scenario kicks off and says, hey, verify. A lot of people have their fingerprint on their iPhone where they just, you know, scan with their fingerprint, automatically logs you in. That could have been a PIN number, by the way, or a text or a phone call. Now, this is the app-managed experience. So you launch PowerPoint and it says, hey, by the way, your IT department is managing this app for you. And so there's going to be some constraints that you're going to realize because it's being managed. But at this point, it's very frictionless, right? There's no other prompts. They're using PowerPoint as long as they stay within the swim lanes that you've given them with those policies. But the first thing we do is say, hey, once again, we want to enforce a PIN. You don't have to enforce a PIN, but you could enforce a PIN in this scenario. So we're making them set up for the first time a 4-digit PIN. And then once they do that, they have to confirm the PIN, and then they're off to the races. Now remember, again, I want to draw your attention to this, because James mentioned the ability, right? You've already gone through the selective wipe. So this is just, again, another proactive way for you to make sure you understand and control how long data is living on devices that you're managing. And again, this is the wipe alert. So check these slides out after the show, and hopefully the idea is you'll be able to walk through a lot of this and kind of follow along in the tenant with us, if you will. Oh, so this is me again. So we've given you a way to figure out and make sure, hey, the person that's connecting is who we want them to be, right? We've given you the ability to reactively, selectively wipe all the corporate data off their device. We've given you the ability to go in and set up policies and set up conditions so that that device can only connect under certain circumstances. And then we've also given you app-specific management policies to enforce on devices. So now, one of the big chunks of my day is talking to customers about sensitive data types, right? So how do we pick up on different data that's in content that you're storing in Office 365? And we all know that when you're storing data in Office 365, it's going to be either in OneDrive or SharePoint Online. So in those scenarios, data loss prevention, not long ago we announced, we now support data loss prevention, DLP, in OneDrive and SharePoint Online, just like we have for years and years with Exchange Online. So let's take a look at setting up DLP policies. within the portal as well. So we're going to go back to the security and compliance portal, and we're going to go to data loss prevention under the security policies portion. Then, in this scenario, we're going to create a new policy. I think I missed one. Yeah, so we're going to click on the little plus button there, and then we're going to select, and we've got tons of templates, right? So this is financial data that I happen to be picking up on. So I click on financial, I then go under PCI data security, so I'm essentially looking for credit card information. And then once I do that, this is pretty relevant here because I can either target my entire organization, everything in SharePoint Online or OneDrive for Business, or I can say I only want to go and target this one specific SharePoint site or these groups of users, right? So you can get very precision, focused on who you're targeting for DLP and where you're targeting, I should say. All right, then we're going to click Next there. And now if I go into the actual rules that are driving this this DLP policy, and I click on this one in the Edit button, you'll now see that I'm, in fact, this is where I'm telling it, hey, here's the things I want to trigger this policy based on. So the first one is, hey, if I have a credit card number there, right, you'll see that at the top. It's okay if I have a document or a PowerPoint presentation or any other content that has a credit card number, as long as it's not shared with anyone outside of my organization. So you'll see the second part of this condition is if it's shared with people outside of my organization, that's what I want to trigger. So if it's got a credit card number and it's shared outside of the company using OneDrive or SharePoint Online, I want this policy to trigger. So then I click on OK, and then it asks me, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to test this out very quickly, or do you just want to roll it out? So most people will test it, make sure it works the way they want. They'll name it, they'll give it a description, and then they'll deploy it by saying, turn it on and start protecting content now. So then, wherever you were targeting is going to automatically have that DLP policy being applied. So then I can go to actions, and this is all about taking action and notifying people. So if a policy is created and it's triggered, who do you want to notify? And so there's a plethora of things here that you have as options. The other one that's pretty important is a lot of times people are doing things like with this credit card scenario. Maybe it's an admin that's sending it to a vendor for an offsite, right? Hey, I have to pay for Jimmy John's pizza or the whatever the vendor is. So you can set up things like minimum and maximum thresholds, like, hey, if there's one credit card, let it go, but if there's more than one, then I want to do, I want to prevent it from going out, right? I don't want it to be shared outside. And so the bottom portion here under override options, it actually will give the user the ability to go in and tell IT, hey, I think I need to be able to do this for this reason. So you have flexibility and control over allowing your users to do that. But then with all things, the reporting is pretty pretty great behind the scenes to figure out, you know, when they've kicked off the scenario where they're overriding. So, and then the last thing is, under incident reports, I can literally go in and I can say, hey, when this DLP policy is triggered, I want to add this to the incident reports that I can go and look at, and I want this policy to be in the high category. So make sure I want to draw attention to this one by marking it as high, and I want to email our compliance officer, Alex Darrow. Now, some of the other investments we've made is just like with Outlook, you know, we have DLP policies in Exchange. In Outlook, okay, good, we got plenty of time, just looking at our time there. In Outlook, we do a great job of saying, hey, you've got a credit card number in this email you're about to send, right? And it'll throw up that little policy tip at the top. And so one of the things we do now in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint with 2016 on the native apps is we will start surfacing those policy tips from OneDrive and SharePoint Online, right? So the user, we our telemetry and talking to IT pros, we know that most people don't intentionally share intellectual property outside of the four walls of your organization. So things like this, these policy tips do a great job of kind of making them pause and go, oh, wow, you know, I shared that externally. I didn't mean to do that, right? I meant to send it to share it with Bob internally, not Bob externally. So you'll see that we have the credit card number at the bottom of the document, but sometimes we have War and Peace in a document, right? It might be 30 pages long. And so if I go to the File tab in the Office apps and I look, it's a really good way for the user to see exactly what policy, why is this document falling into this policy? And so it says, hey, you've got a credit card number there. So if I then go look at OneDrive for Business in the browser, you'll see that we actually have, if I were to zoom in, at the very bottom there, under Sharing External Doc, it has a little explanation point. So if I hover over that, it says, hey, it's very similar to the native Word experience I showed. It says, hey, this is in violation of a policy, and it's because of a credit card number you'll see there in the little dialog box. And so the idea here is you still have saved the document up to OneDrive. And the scenario is maybe I've saved the document to my OneDrive. I've shared it, and James goes and opens it up, and he inadvertently puts a credit card number in that same document. He saves it. At that point, that document is completely shut down if it's shared externally to only James and I. So whoever modified it last and whoever created the document, those are the only two people that can open up that file at that point once that policy has been triggered, until one of us two were to go in and clean up that credit card number. This is where I always say, but wait, there's more. So Ruben had a great session yesterday where he walked through some of these, but it's very important when we're in front of IT pros, I find that they it's hard to keep up with all the innovation we're pumping out with Office 365, especially from a management and security perspective. And so this is just kind of my favorite things about OneDrive and the way that we continue to allow you to control the data within Office 365. So first and foremost, you can now disable external sharing on a per-user basis, right? It used to be we limited you to doing that via PowerShell. Now, Ruben showed you a console that we're working on. It's not available today, but we're essentially putting an interface for all of those things that you would go use PowerShell for today, right? So enable external sharing per user, that's a big one. If I have a competitor that I never want people sending and sharing content with, I can blacklist their domain. So none of my users will be able to share content with them. On the same, But you also can whitelist domains, right? So you can say, hey, we're going through an acquisition, right? And we're at the very beginning stages, so I want to be able to share content with this third-party company, partner, vendor, whatever. So sharing with them is pretty straightforward. And again, I can limit it to just those whitelisted domains if I want. Disable share with everyone. So we've learned, and you'll probably nod your heads agreeing, that users typically take the easiest path, right? So they'll put something in OneDrive and say, I don't want to share this with people, I don't want to take the time, so I'm just going to share it with everybody in the company, right? So that's something that a lot of IT folks have come back to us and said, we don't really like that option. We want them to be intentional about who they're sharing with. So we give you the option of taking away the, hey, I want to share this with everyone in the company as they're sharing experience. And then this is probably the one that's gotten most customers over the hump of going to OneDrive for Business, and that is prevent synchronizing with OneDrive for Business to non-domain join machines. So if I'm at my in-laws for Thanksgiving and I go log in into the browser and I click the sync button, if it's not a managed device in my company, it won't sync. OneDrive for Business says, oops, sorry, you can't do that, right? And so that's something that has really been well received in the IT community. Disabling anonymous sharing links. So if you're familiar with that, a lot of companies are looking for, hey, there's certain segments of my company I want to be able to share with external folks in a very frictionless way. So the best way to do that is to give them an anonymous guest sharing link where they can view it with just clicking a button, no sign in, nothing, right? You can disable that if you'd like. You can also force those anonymous sharing links to expire after a certain number of time. So you can go as an IT pro and set that number of days, and then your setting overrides whatever the user were to put in the UI, because there is a user interface where they can say, hey, I want this to expire in 20 days. Well, if you set it for 5 days, it's going to adhere to the 5 days that you set as an IT pro. Disallow personal sync via group policy. That's something that's huge, right? So a lot of companies are like, hey, we don't want our folks leveraging the consumer OneDrive at work. So there's a group policy setting that you can roll out that says you're only going to use OneDrive for Business while you're here at work. And then the grand finale is, and this is one that up until last week, I've gotten feedback from customers that says, you know, Brent, you still have not solved the problem of someone going up through a browser, logging in at their in-laws, and right-clicking and downloading that file. So, with a drum roll, in Ruben Krippner's session yesterday morning at the same time, he showed you this console, within OneDrive for Business. So this is kind of a sneak peek of the OneDrive management console in Office 365, and you'll notice that now, right under deploy this policy, there is a block download. So now we truly have filled all of the gaps from a perspective of not allowing your data to go where you don't want it to go. So a lot of customers said, you know, it's a per file basis, so we just wanted to limit the bulk, you know, sync this offline on the in-laws machine scenario. And so they've moved forward, but they're still feeling like they're a little vulnerable. Now this will completely seal the deal on, you know, blocking the data from getting on places where you don't want it to get. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. Yes. If someone wants to edit a file, yes. Yes. So you're talking about an authenticated user coming in. Yeah, absolutely. This is just saying, here's how, again, PowerShell. This is just an example of saying, here's how you would go run the PowerShell to restrict unmanaged machines from syncing, right, and blocking Macs as well. And this is the nice, lovely UI you get as a user. If I'm at my in-laws and I click the sync button, it says, hey, we can't sync because your IT folks have said you can't do that.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so reporting. So we have some tools to be able to report on a few different things in the service. We want to step through those right now. The first of which generally is Office activation. So folks, you know, we enable Office for folks, but are they actually using it? Can we see, you know, who's getting value from Office across whatever type of device that they're using? So within the portal, we have the ability to see a report, kind of, you know, graphs in this representation here, showing us the number of users that we've licensed and the activations across different device types. So you'll see here the, you know, Windows devices, Android, iOS, and those types of things. And so this tells us a part of the picture, right, activations, but this doesn't necessarily show us, like, okay, well, let me see all of my users who are licensed and whether or not they are activating. And so relied a little bit on the ability to export this, which should show up here shortly. There we go. So we can export this and get it into a format in Excel. I tend to play around in Excel a lot, so this was kind of a fun project for me. But again, kind of a flat view, just showing me the last activated data across those devices. With a little bit of PowerShell in the console, I can actually output the folks who are licensed for an Office subscription. And so what I did was I took the output from this script and the output from this export and munged those together in a pivot table to show me, okay, I've got three users in my tenant, very small organization, but I do notice that Allie B, has not activated anything. So she may be a user that maybe not, that doesn't need Office for her SKU. So, kind of a nice way to represent that and present that back to folks to kind of rationalize your user base. And the other thing is, as we have different folks interacting with the service, we do want to kind of be apprised of the activity that's happening there. So you may have heard us announce the Management Activity API a while back, as well as the Audit Log Search. So the Management Activity API and the things that we're doing with the auditing is a level of depth that we hadn't had in the service before. So we have the ability to see whether or not Brent downloads a file or he just views a file in the service. And that is surfaced through the audit log search here. So you can actually go through and narrow down on a specific user. So if we take a look at Sarah D's actions here, we can see that at a specific time range there and see what kind of activity she had. And there's some detail in the detail column there that you can kind of take a look and see even, you know, what clients she was coming across as for different things. And you'll notice here there's an add alert on the bottom. So if you have a certain type of activity that you want to be notified about, you can add an alert on that and get an email to an admin to say, hey, you know what, Brent's starting to download, you know, files from a restricted site or something of that nature. But there's a multitude of activities that you can pull from. So Brent talked a little bit about the DLP and kind of configuring that. There is a DLP report that we can take a look at and pull this down and see where we have matches where we've hit that DLP policy, right? So somebody has uploaded some credit card information and we can trigger that. We also see false positives there and overrides. So if, you know, somebody uploaded something and that actually had a business justification for that, then that's fine. There's also a PowerShell interface for this, so if you want to be able to pull this down in mass and go a little bit beyond what we have with the basic report here, you can play around with that. So we just went through kind of a litany of things, and again, the good news is you're not alone in this. We have Fast Track available to help you. So there's promotional materials, there's guidance on how to kind of work through the App Store and get things rolling, instructions for deployment and use through things like Intune and the things that we talked about, help setting up cloud access on those devices, and the video kind of outlining the Go productivity scenarios. So maybe familiar with our scenario-based collateral. The other thing is, Brent and I will be at the booth today, so if you guys want to come see us, talk a little bit more in depth about some scenarios that you guys have around Office Pro Plus, deployment, management, all that kind of fun stuff, we're happy to chat.
And the famous Curtis Saul one is here. He is with the cloud jacket.
Yes, and brick tie.
So he'll be at the booth with us later today as well. Thanks, James. So in summary, we've got just a few minutes here to wrap up. So let's recap, right? The way that you allow your users to be productive on any device at any time from anywhere is to go into the portal and assign them the Office 365 Pro Plus license, right? That's step one. Then there's a multitude of number of ways that you can then protect the device. So think of the conditional access we showed you, where we can go in and configure device policies right from the Office 365 portal. We can do things like multi-factor authentication to make sure that when someone's coming through the browser or from any device, we can make sure that we reach them on something we know they have to confirm that they're the right person to be on the other end of that device. We can do things like selective wipe of data. So someone leaves the company, we want to get their corporate data off. We can issue that, again, all out of the box with Office 365. And then we showed you the Intune MAM without enrollment capabilities, right? So that goes a step further in the scenario where you might have an existing MDM solution already in place. We then wrapped it up with talking about DLP. So how do we pick up on sensitive data types and lock down content based on that? And then we talked about the, what was the last thing we talked about? Oh, the reporting. So how then, after we've protected all of your devices and your data, now you can go and kind of confirm that your data is staying where it should be and people are accessing it and sharing it with the people they should be accessing or sharing it with. And so James wrapped it up with the reporting. So we appreciate you guys coming. We have 1 minute. If someone has a pressing question, feel free to jump up there to the mic or run up here after the session. But we appreciate you all as customers at Microsoft. We're happy to be here, and hopefully this has been beneficial to you all. And don't forget, please give us an evaluation. This is not James or my day job. And so we love to go home and tell our kids that we did a good job when we get home. Shameless plug.
Thank you.
Thank you.